This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past. Guys, the patrons decided, and we're talking about the Tarte influencer trip.
Yep,
we're going to break that down this week.
Mm-hmm.
I have the pleasure of doing that, and
The true pleasure,
because guess what? Tarte is racist.
And guys, the Patreon has really been popping off.
It's been popping.
I think you guys heard the call to go back and listen to our Drake and Kendrick episodes to prepare for next week. We're going to have a hip-hop journalist on.
Yes, yes.
So make sure you get in there, subscribe at the $5 or $10 level.
Because guys, the Drake, Kendrick, it's a rich text.
It's
a lot's going on. We've done 2 episodes. And we still have six songs that we haven't covered.
We haven't even covered everything.
We haven't even covered half of it.
Get ready. But this week.
This week.
We have an incredible guest with us. We are so excited, guys. She's such a funny friend and comedian. She is the host of the viral sensation Boy Room. It's Rachel Koster.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow.
And I'm so glad you guys are doing this research because I don't know, like, any of the stuff you were talking about.
Oh, really?
Or, like, well, I'm just, like, not caught up on legit one part of it. Do you know what I mean?
That's the point.
Well, that's the point of this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And somebody did, I do have to say, I forgot to tell you off thing. Somebody's like, Millie, can you and Elise do an episode about Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo? And
why they're beefing? We absolutely can do that.
We absolutely can and we should.
They're beefing?
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, knock it off. Like, seriously. Because we should all be friends.
Especially if
you're girls and you're both doing the same thing, like, just hang out with each
other.
Well,
someone took someone's boyfriend.
Sabrina Carpenter. Maybe not. In driver's license, how she says you're always with that blonde girl. The blonde girl is Sabrina Carpenter.
I take it back, Sabrina. You're done.
Olivia Rodrigo's songs hit.
Oh yeah,
they're so
that
good.
That has the angst of somebody. Yeah.
She's really good.
If that's what it takes to make her make amazing music, let's have it happen again.
Yeah, exactly. Though she's so good. I do love me espresso.
Well, that's me espresso. And speaking of espresso, you're the host of Boy Room, a show where you go into some genuinely terrifying boys' rooms. Can you tell us a little bit about how the show came to be and maybe some behind the scenes on how you shoot your episodes, how you nominate the boys, all that stuff? Take us through your process.
Okay, so I wanted a job at the company that is producing it, Gymnasium. And I went in, to interview, and I don't think that I was going to get a job. And classic, I, am one of the most unhirable people in the history of the universe.
Wow.
The amount of jobs I haven't gotten would blow you away, and the number of jobs I have gotten could not sustain even, a small baby. I really am, not meant for a lifestyle of, every day going to something.
I mean,
I feel very,
just not
I feel
right.
that,
but
I feel that
the,
really
the consequences
hard.
Having five
totally.
Things.
Yeah.
That you're fucking balancing.
Yeah, and they're all mad at me and stuff.
Yeah.
And so no problem, but I went in and he didn't want to hire me, but I sent him a pitch because he was just we just need shows. And I was like, okay. So he sent in a pitch of 4 show ideas. Boy Room was one of them. And so he was let's make a pilot episode. And so we did, and then it just kind of like is amazing, I guess.
It fucking
it literally is amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I can't really believe how well it's doing. I guess it's good. It's but it really is confusing good. To me. I'm like, it's not like groundbreaking, really.
No, it is. It is.
The thing is, it hits such a sweet spot. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, pause the episode. Go watch an episode of Boy Room.
It's funny. 1 minute.
It'll take one minute of your time, and then you'll get it. But it hits that sweet spot of like doing something new while also giving that nostalgic like Room Raiders vibe.
Thank you so much.
But that and what you just said kind of ties into my next question, which is like, I feel like it's been a long time since I've seen something just pop off the way Boy Room popped off. Like, people immediately responded to it. What's it been like for you to be at the center of a viral sensation?
I think it's good. It's definitely good. It's better than it not doing well, for sure. My life, like, hasn't changed at all, really, because of it. I mean, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. And, like, getting press is so cool. And, like, I'm really glad people like it. And it's been so fun to make something that a bunch of people are seeing. I guess it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of just like, okay, on to the next. You know what I mean?
It's like, you're making money from that a little bit, at least.
Yet, but
no,
no problem. Hopefully, I will.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, I just want to say, you know, you're saying that it's like it's really important work, like what you're doing. Oh, because first of all, you're picking these guys that are handsome.
Oh, yeah, some of them are so hot.
Some of them are so hot.
Jerome, I think, was the very
gorgeous
handsome
one with the tires in his house. I'm like, these guys are hot and they're probably slaying puss, they're probably getting laid all the time. And then their rooms are disgusting.
There was a dead crab in one guy's room. And he said, I didn't know that was there.
He's auctioning it on eBay if anyone wants to buy it.
But also some dumbass will buy it.
It's up to like $100.
That's insane.
It's kind of awesome.
That's crazy. But this is what I'm going to say is that the discourse around boys' rooms and men's rooms is the bed on the floor, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's bed on the floor. So I feel like the thing about Boy Room is these rooms are disgusting, but I haven't seen a bed on the floor.
No, and so far.
Yeah, but this elevated. Is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. This is like, it's like how 9/11 made made everyone take off their shoes and all this shit. So if someone's going to do some shit, they're not going to put it in their shoes or put it in gel or hair gel or anything.
Yeah.
Because they know we're checking for it.
It's like 9/11.
Yeah, but they'll figure out a different way to do 9/11.
Okay, because they got their bed out of elevator, but they still got a dead crab.
Literally.
In
yeah,
their
it's
house.
Like, exactly. You kind of got to like be like, none of this is okay.
Yeah, none of it is okay. And I just think it's really great to like, I just think it's really great, important work of like, look at this. Look at these guys that you're fucking tripping over that aren't like messaging you back on Hinge and are destroying your week. And it's just like,
they've got a framed rat tail on the wall.
They have a framed rat tail.
I think that was awesome. I'm like, what a genius. I think that's so cool.
The one that wouldn't open the fridge.
That was scary to me.
Middle part was
very scary.
Nightmares.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm worried that it's like scaring boys into like, I feel like boys are already so self-conscious about so much stuff in their lives, and so I hate to add stuff to the pile, but I also am like, girls have been like punished nonstop all of history for like not being completely perfect, and it's like, maybe it's totally fine if like boys are like, oh no, it's dusty. You know what
I mean?
But I do feel stressed about it.
Don't
not
feel
your problem.
Like, you're not saying you're ugly or you're this or... But the messages that women have been getting is like, if you don't have a big ass and a flat stomach and if
huge
you have
tits,
stretch marks, huge tits, and completely perfect teeth and all this stuff, you're a fucking disgusting, ugly bitch. And this is like... You should clean your room.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
like
stuff
the bare
that is
minimum
in their
vibes.
Control. You are not roasting them for things that
they can't
could not
change
fix
in 15
tomorrow.
Minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Like they could make the change tomorrow.
Yeah, and like put some care. And I think this is also something that like post 30s that I got, and especially in the pandemic, it's like it really makes a difference when your home is nice and you've framed something.
Yeah, you just feel
you
so good in
up,
it.
And you feel good and that it has your personality in it and stuff.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. And like, that's like the most important thing to me is just like, just so you know, like you can love yourself and it's not gay. And if you're gay, that's fine. And like, if your space is nice, people aren't going to think you're like some weird pervert. They're going to think you take care of yourself and love yourself and that you would love them. Like, there's kind of like no downside to like having a space that you feel really happy in.
Yeah.
And I think it like just changes everything about your psyche when like what you're looking at all the time and where you like the thing that like represents you, like to people who would fall in love with you, et cetera, is just like a nice place. It doesn't have to be like expensive. It doesn't have to be like insanely tidy, but there's just little stuff where it's like, just like take good care of yourself. You don't have if you to can
have a pile of boxes or a dead crab.
Yeah,
in it.
There's
a medium. There's like the other extreme is, have you seen that guy who literally is doing like Norman Bates cosplay, or not Norman Bates, the American Psycho cosplay, and he steams his sheets?
Oh yeah, he's so like, scary.
He's scary. So we don't need that.
No,
but
no.
We can get rid of the dead crabs and maybe put a little candle,
a little personal flair.
Yeah, exactly. Flair. I love a candle.
We love a candle.
They're
candle
helpful.
Might be too much. But yeah. I wish, and also like, I'm sure these rooms stink.
Many of them do. Yeah. With middle parts, after we left, we like all had like a metallic taste in our mouth because they all like smoke cigs inside.
Ew.
And it was like, I like all his room, like they're all so nice and stuff, but everyone was just like blasting darts the whole time we were filming, and like my whole crew, none of them like smoke or anything, and we all just left and we're like, I don't feel good at all. No. Oh my God. And we just all had like, our lips were like chapped with like, it was so different.
Yeah, it's truly like, someone's this fucking is a biohazard.
Probably a lot of people are fucking him.
Yesterday, well, I guess I won't out her, but I've had a couple girls be like, I've had sex with so many of the men on your show.
No, or like, not one more than one.
Or one or more. I've had three girls say that they've had sex with more than one.
Oh, my God.
And a couple just say that they've had sex with one. And I'm just like...
So those girls need...
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Stand up. And that's a meme. That's a meme where it's like...
I want to make a group chat for them. Like, you guys are safe. And
you guys
need
to love yourselves a little bit more. And, but also, the thing about boy rooms is that, you know, when you're... I mean, not that you're obligated to have sex with a guy as soon as you enter his house. Mm-mm. But sometimes, if you're that far into it, you're like, all right, well, I do want to sleep with this guy.
Yeah, so. You went on a date, you're vibing, everything's great, and then you get to his room, and you're like, oh my God, he spray-painted his name on the wall, there's a dead crab in here. But also, like,
he is hot.
I'm not perfect. I'm like, my pubes are all, like, different, like, lengths. Like, there's, like, I have a lot of problems, too. And so I'm like, nobody's perfect, and, like, I have to, like, accept people
But not the dead crab, guys. We have to have boundaries.
Guys, this entire conversation does lead us perfectly into our discourse for today.
Awesome.
The discourse is our main segment where we talk about something everybody's talking about online. And today we are getting into dating app discourse.
Yes.
We are specifically talking about Bumble.
They're rebranding.
Yes.
So what, do you guys use Bumble? Do either of you have, because I'm married, so I'm not.
Yeah, Elise has to mention every episode that
I'm
once
married,
she's married, and then also that she has chronic incurable dry eye. Every episode.
I didn't know about that, and I guess.
Because you don't listen.
I'm sorry, guys, and I will re-rectify.
You will listen.
Yeah, I will.
It's okay.
But because you're missing out on,
I know, and I can so much more stuff. And I'm sorry for not listening so far, but I have a lot of stuff on my plate.
You're dealing with a lot. You have metallic taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
But do you use Bumble? Is the question.
No, I'm 1.5 weeks away from a breakup, and it's too soon to get back on the apps if I ever
one
will.
1.5 weeks.
Am counting the days like a childbirth.
Are you 1.5 weeks out from the breakup, or are you planning to break up with this person?
Oh,
in
no,
one and
it
half
happened.
Weeks?
I would never imagine.
Because like, this episode comes out on Wednesday.
That it's going to happen.
I thought you were, yeah.
That would be so funny.
I was like, do you want us to, because this will come out on Wednesday.
Out. Yeah, totally.
So.
No, I had a breakup 1.5 weeks ago.
Wow,
and so I really don't want to get.
The breakup happened post-boy room.
Yeah, it's, I guess, all not so good. Or I just am so busy, and anyway, it's hard to talk about, and I will start crying.
Okay.
But,
with Bumble. I am not on Bumble, and I don't plan to ever go back on any of the dating apps because they just all make me want to die.
That really factors into our discourse.
Famously a person who just will ask everyone out that I meet in a way that is, like, destroying friendships and, like, lives.
Wow.
And I, like,
maybe you shouldn't do that at work.
I would never do it with any of these boys, especially. But it's, I go to a party and, like, my friend's friend, like, that's who I'm asking out. And it's, like, that can be good because then it can go really well, but can also go bad because if they say no or if they are, like, weird and don't know how to handle stuff, then I'm, like, okay, well, that's going to be annoying at next party.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm, like, when I'm shooting my shot, like, 300 times a week, like, none of them matter to me that much. But if a boy is, like, receiving a shot and they're like, oh my God, I said no, like, she's gonna hate me, it's like, no, I legit forgot I did that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, every now and then a boy will be, like, weird to me, and I'm like, why is he being weird to me? And I'm like, oh, I did ask him out, but I, like, didn't really mean it that much, you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess it's interesting because
I love you.
Yeah. Woman who shoots her shot is like, that's what Bumble was banking
on.
We'll get into it. It has not worked for them. Yeah. But they really needed you on the app.
Yeah. I know. And when I was on there, I was chatting it up. The problem is, I just, like, sorry, I'm talking so much, but it's just like,
you're the guest. On a podcast. That's the point.
You're the guest. Thank on you our podcast. So much.
I just really don't. It's just like, it's texting that is stressful, and it's so loaded, and it's like, I have no idea if I will even like you at all, or if, like, you'll smell like shit. Like, there's so many people where you're like, you look handsome, but then you start talking and you're like, you should actually be dating my friend, like, Kelsey. Like, we should never talk to each other. Like, it's just not, like, a vibe at all. Yeah. And so it's so weird to put all this time into someone who you're like, oh, like, we should have just, like, met randomly at a cafe and, like, just been like, hey, girl. Like, we have, like, a totally friend vibe.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so weird to be, like, kind of flirty with someone who you're gonna meet and be like, oh, actually, like, we should not be at all in this context. We should be working together on a project. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, landmines. It's just, like, putting landmines all over the city. I just, like, think that dating apps are, like, a total nightmare, and it's, like, it's got to be off vibe in real life. I mean, obviously, some people are busy and, like, have different lifestyles.
Yeah, I don't mind dating apps at all. Like, I'm not on Bumble specifically because I feel like, I mean, I'm on Hinge and Tinder. I'm, like, on a lot of them. And, like, it does get, I mean, on one end, it's, like, of course, the personal, like, the in-person vibe is better. But on the other hand, like, it just helps you, like, meet people outside of your network. And then also,
and make sure that you're both in a dating zone.
Exactly. Because that's the thing with, like, in-person stuff is that it's always, like, this vague shit of, like, is this person this? Is this person that? Like, there's plausible deniability that I don't like. There's an ambiguity. But then, you know, that's not there with dating apps. It's like, okay, we're both here for the same reason. But then on the other side, like, because you're not in their network and stuff, they feel like there's no consequences. And I feel like a lot of people act in ways that they wouldn't if they knew that they were going to be confronted with the social consequences by their friend group. Like, maybe a guy that you met from a dating app will be more sexual or more, like, nasty or disrespectful versus a guy who you knew through a friend, because you'd go back and tell your friend, like, hey, that guy's kind of weird.
That guy's crazy,
but these guys don't feel that. But so that's kind of like,
yeah, there's the pluses flip side. And minuses. There's pluses and minuses in a major way.
And for Bumble specifically, for me, I just felt like I would be messaging guys and they would, like, kind of not message me back, or they'd, like, because you also have, like, they had 24 hours to message you back too.
And if you miss it, it's like,
whatever. And sometimes, like, whatever. It was just a lot of pressure and stuff. And, like, I also got a cease and desist from Bumble.
You're joking, Millie.
I swear to God.
What'd you do?
I famously founded a satire site.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the writers wrote this thing where, like, this feature on Bumble, and they named Bumble, and then the fucking graphic had, I had nothing to do with this, but because I founded this site and my name was on the website as, like, editor-in-chief,
The cease and desist goes to you.
Because it said, this feature on Bumble shows you which white people actually went to the Black Lives Matter protest and which ones just put the black square on their Instagram. I did get a cease and desist.
Oh my God.
When they got, like, filed for an IPO, I got like this big fucking thing, and they sent it to like all my addresses, and then
I had to get
like
stupid.
The Onion's lawyer, like I had to like get a favor where they drafted an email that's like a reasonable person would know that this is real.
This is fake, and like this is a satire website.
Yeah, so they hate bad press, so they're probably dying right now.
Okay, so
let's tell the people.
Yeah,
what they
let's
did.
Tell the people why we're talking about Bumble. Good. So Bumble is rebranding, as you said. Bumble's whole thing, for anyone who doesn't know, is that women had to message first on Bumble. And this was supposed to, like,
because stop. Most dating apps were boys asking.
Were men asking first and maybe sending, like, gross or nasty stuff. A lot of dating apps had that problem. So Bumble was like, where the feminist went and girls message first. Turns out women don't really like to message. It wasn't, the model didn't work very well. But on top of that, so they're changing that model. Now, instead, like, women and non-binary users and people who are, like, looking for same-sex partnerships, they can add prompts to their profile that are called opening moves, and the man can answer that question. So it's not just, like, a free-for-all. He can't send you anything, but he can message first with an answer to that question. This decision comes as shares of the company, you mentioned that IPO.
Yeah.
They're down 80% from that IPO.
Yeah.
So they're not doing great. And on top of this announcement, social media, number one, mixed reaction to just this new announcement in general. Number two, social media has been roasting them because Bumble has put up these billboards around that say things like, thou shalt not give up dating and become a nun. A vow of celibacy is not the answer. It's like this weird
religious thing.
Yeah, it's this weird, like, kind of like shaming women for not having sex campaign.
Oh, that is weird as hell.
Yeah, and I think it's like reflective of what's happening online. Like another discourse that's happening online that's been influenced actually from like the feminist movement in Korea is the 4B movement, where women are like, look, we're not like, we don't have equal rights. And also in relationships, we're not valued or respected. So we're going to completely disengage from men. Like that has been happening in a big way in Korea. And they face like harsher gender discrimination, depending on who you ask or whatever. And that those kind of things are making waves in America and around the world, where it's like, what are the benefits of me entering into a relationship with a man? Like, for a long time, women couldn't get credit cards or have bank accounts or do anything or have a stable life without men. And like now that you actually, now it's based on partnership and what someone brings and enriches into your life. It's like, you're getting these guys that send you dick pics or like, will fuck a bunch of other people and protect
have it. Have a dead crab in their room.
Have a dead crab in their room. It's kind of like, well, what's the point? So like, there's this movement called like decentering men, or like, I'm going to take a break from dating until whatever. Like that's getting really popular now. And that is affecting these companies who view women as a product.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it is just interesting for Bumble to do this hard pivot where their whole thing was like, we're the app where it's nice to be a woman and like you talk first and everything's nice and we have a friendship component.
Oh, yeah, that's like Bumble, the Bumble BFF.
And then they're like, actually, you should be fucking. Why aren't you fucking?
Yeah.
You nun. You're a prude, frigid nun. It's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Like, just whiplash.
Pivot. And one of their billboards was like, literally, like, you know full well celibacy is not an answer. So it's also like AAVE black scent talk, like on one of the billboards. And I can guarantee you that's a Bumble
person.
The agency that's running Bumble's thing is all like white men.
Yeah.
Maybe one white woman.
So people are unhappy for all of these reasons with Bumble. And it's also brought up this conversation around like the idea of dating app fatigue, which is a lot of what you were talking about, Rachel, which is just like, younger people, but kind of everyone, is feeling over these apps. They're feeling like they're not making good connections on them. It's
and
giving
like
them the anxiety.
Apps need to suck so that they can make money. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They've all started doing stuff where it's like you can like only travel if you're on, if you have money, if you pay for it. You can only like swipe so many times if you have money. So it's like they make them shitty so that they're harder to use if you don't have money, and then you're spending all this money on dating, and then they don't want you to ever fall in real love because then you'll stop paying. You know, it's just like, it's this weird thing where it's like it doesn't actually want to help you.
Yeah, and like there's a whole, I think we've talked about
this. We've talked about the hinge hacks in our put a pin in that discourse, like Patreon episode that's for free and it's a video episode. We talked about how there's literally a whole segment on TikTok teaching you how to pimp out and like hack the dating app so that, because basically they put all the good matches or the people that first. They know. Well, they yeah. put all the people that they know you would be really compatible with behind a paywall so that you can pay for it. Mm-hmm. But if you like, one hack is like if you almost delete your hinge, but and right before it says, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Then and you say no, then they reset everything and they put all those people that were behind the paywall first.
Yeah, so they'll start to show you. They'll start to show I know, you they like matches. Do because, yeah, now.
So crazy.
I know. Yeah. So. Like you said, like, they only make money if you agree to, like, pay for the paid tier or if you stay on the app and stuff. But also, another thing people have talked about is, like, if people see that you've paid for the app, that kind of gives people the ick. Like, there are yeah. some apps where, like, you can pay to message someone first or pay to, like, super like them or this, that, or the other yeah. thing. And it's like, that actually gives the person the ick.
It's like, how many people are you doing that to? Yeah. Like, yeah. It doesn't feel yeah. special. It just feels so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just this monetization. I feel like it has just tipped over into a monetization level that has taken whatever romance did exist out of it even more to a certain degree.
Yeah. Also, I just kind of feel like, I go back and forth with someone who's on the apps and mm-hmm. does yeah. use it. It's like, it is interesting, or it is somebody who's like has intention and is actually looking for it and putting money into it. Like, for me, that's not necessarily a red flag. But again, it's the thing of like, it's like, how many people are you messaging? Like, what are your intentions? Because the thing is, there are people who pay for it that their intention is just to fuck as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Or to scam or whatever, you know, and like whatever. But like.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna. And Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You know, there's apps like Match.com or eHarmony that like older people tend to use where you do have to pay and all that stuff. But like with that, it's like, well, here are people who are actually serious about finding. Like, it's not just you put a profile with three pictures and then you're just, you know, so yeah. That's kind of.
Yeah, so I pulled some numbers from, there was a study, I found this in Forbes Health. It was overall 78% of dating app users feel emotionally, mentally, or physically exhausted from the apps. Physically exhausted, I'm that's like, crazy. You're fucking.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're either swiping so fast it's hurting you yeah. or you're getting waylaid. But the breakdown by generation is millennials, it's 80%. Gen Z, it's 79%. Gen X, it's 78%. And then baby boomers is 70%. So it's like, those are not good numbers yeah. for any
yeah.
any generation at all. Even the boomers are like, I'm not enjoying this.
Damn.
But it's yeah. a good way for boomers to meet people, too.
Yeah, definitely. And
like, I love hearing on TikTok, like, when boomers are like, this one lady was like, yeah, I talked to this guy And I wanted to go out. And then he was like, let's just go to your house. And he just like made himself comfortable in my house. And he's like, so what are you cooking for dinner? On a second date. And she's like, boy, if you don't get up out my house. And like, fuck, like that. But it's like same thing of like, well, fuck, I'm trying to find someone my age that wants to do things with me. And this guy is trying to find just a wife that he already neglects on the second date.
Damn. Yeah. Oh my God, I don't want to get old.
Well, it's going to happen. If you're lucky, totally, it's going to happen. Okay,
totally. And I guess I will look forward to that. I hope I have a
partner. Well, you can read people quicker, you know?
Yeah.
I think now,
gotten better at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the good thing about getting older. It's like, oh, I know how this is going to end up for me. And that's also why I'm like, I need to take some breaks because I already see through the bullshit so much quicker now that.
Yeah, but it
being
is
a slut was so fun when I was younger, and now it's like intentionally walking into the flames of like hell.
Yeah, I can't even like, do it anymore.
Know.
God. I feel like I had my period of time where I was like, whatever, I'm just out here and I'm dating and I'm hooking up, and then like secretly inside I was like, but I end up falling in love.
Yeah,
I can't stop myself from falling in love.
Yeah,
outwardly being like, I'm a bad bitch and I don't care and blah blah blah, and then inside I'm like, but I hope that they all like me and think about me and text me.
I know, and they don't.
Also with the dating apps, I get freaked out. I mean, I guess Instagram is similar, but it's like, I get freaked out having all these people who I don't know and I'm not like engaging with, knowing that I'm out there and single. Like one time I was walking on the street and this guy goes, hey, are you Rachel? And I was like, what's up? And he was like, oh yeah, I saw you on Tinder.
No,
like,
that's weird.
And
that's
we had matched. I think, but like, it was weird of him to remember, in my opinion. Like, I just felt uncomfortable.
I think
about
it's weird to bring that up on the street.
Yeah, I just in bars that I'm like, I've seen every guy, like, or there's times where I've seen guys that I've chatted with on Tinder or this and that, and I'm like, oh God.
One thing I always hated from when I was on the apps was like when someone you knew would see your profile and then be like, haha, I saw you. And I'm like, let's not.
No, yeah. No,
like, don't be weird.
Etiquette moment is like, we are past that. Like, there was a novelty early on, like 10, 12 years ago, where like people were just, and it was so fun to see someone in the wild on a dating app. We're past that. Don't fucking do that.
That can't be.
Don't match with someone unless you block them. Unless you're interested.
And if you see your friend's profile, swipe away. It's like, we're all out here. Like, you wouldn't come up to someone and be like, I saw you flirting at the bar. Like, just.
Some people are obnoxious enough to do that, though.
Yeah.
And we're saying, don't fucking do that.
Don't fucking do that. So I guess to round out this discussion, do you think that this rebrand is going to work for Bumble? What do you think the future of the apps is?
It doesn't feel bright. Also, I'm like, there are too many of them. Like, you can't be, like, bopping between Hinge and Tinder. Like, honestly, I, like, need a monopoly because it's, like, I need everyone to be in one place.
Most of them are, like, under the Match Group thing.
Yeah, like, they actually, it's, like, grocery stores. Like, they are actually all owned by one.
Except for Bumble. But I feel like Hinge, Tinder, and OkCupid are all under the same, I think. I kind of feel like people do. I mean, there has to be some kind of. I famously hosted the Democratic Socialists of America speed dating event.
Speed dating is coming back. I
love that. Meeting people in real life is the best thing ever, especially when someone else is organizing it and you're like, this is no pressure. We're just having fun.
Yeah.
But if you happen to meet someone that you really like, that's so cool.
And I just think that, I mean, and I fucking did it for like the Valentine's Day weekend, and there was literally like 400 people there. And and it was all like, okay, we all have like similar values, but it was also just like, look, you give me like 2 hours. Well, like, what would you rather do? 2 hours of like in-person mingling with single people or 2 hours in your house on an app?
Swiping.
It was just like,
also, it's
obvious.
Like, you never know who you'll meet. Maybe you'll make a friend. Like, yeah. I like, with dating, I like have to like, I just wish everyone had the same POV as me, where it's like, if this doesn't turn into like true love, like maybe we just are friends for a really long time, you know?
No,
like, totally. Everyone's like different.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean.
These guys want to be, but also you gotta protect yourself, Rachel.
I know.
Because people will fucking suck your energy and then want to be your friend and want to hang around and want your attention.
They'll
and
Tom Schwartz you. I don't know if you watch Vanderpump Rules.
No, I never seen that stuff.
They'll suck your energy. No.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, no, I save that for my actual friends who are there and give something back to me.
Totally. Well there's like a
couple
people.
But I get what you're saying of like, we can still be in each other's thing.
Yeah.
But there's I've people I've that.
Yeah, totally. And it definitely there's like rules and some of them definitely don't make the cut. But there are some boys where I've dated them and I'm like, I totally love you. I like don't want to date you or be with you a lot, but like we're really good friends. And like they are really there for me and their support does mean a lot. And also like when they're like liking my hot pics, there's like something nice where it's like, okay, you still think I'm hot, you have no interest in fucking me or like no real interest, but it's nice to know that the person who thought I was hot still thinks I'm hot.
They're still there thinking that I'm hot.
It's good not to like lose it, I guess. Or like yeah, just that I didn't like destroy or like I just like to be cool with everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that's not I mean
I know it's like
it's
a disease.
That's not super possible, but
I know.
I love it. I love the ethos, but
I have a disease.
Yeah,
and I need
you
to
have
like
to
protect
free
myself
from the. Yeah, you need to protect yourself and free yourself from the burden because people are fucking leeches, and they see you cool and you have a great personality, and they want to be around you, and they don't bring shit and all this. I was like that, and that was something that I stopped like. Very recently where I'm like, no, I actually don't need any more friends. This one guy's like,
dude, totally.
I'm not ready for a relationship. You're really cool. Can we hang out? And I'm like, no, no. You're an accountant. Like, no.
Yeah, I have nothing for you. I will say, I'm like good at
but
that
I'm like, you
stuff.
Could go to my shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll tell you about my
you're
shows.
You're more than welcome to become my fan.
Yeah, you can become my fan. And like after a show, I'll talk to you. And that's the best I can do. But I'm not going to like hang out with you in the weekend and tell you all my favorite restaurants and all this shit. Like, fuck you.
I'm honestly so much better at doing that with men and being like, oh, I like, I don't have room in my life for you, but like, you seem lovely. Like, if I see you around, no problem. But like, with girls, I honestly have a hard time because I'm like, I want to be friendly. Because I never want to. I do, but like, mostly just like friend vibes or like girls will be like, I want to hang out with you. And I'm like, totally, a lot of people do. And I don't really get to see my real friends that often. Like, I don't have room for you, but I don't want to be unkind. So it's like, I never want to be like cold to anyone, especially girls, because like, I really want to be like, a good person. But
no,
I
also
like,
don't want to like close off. I'm like, well, maybe I should keep myself open to making new friends.
Yeah, of
like
course,
I want
of
new
course.
Friendships.
But I just like,
but also
never
I
have
can't
time
have
for
every
myself.
New friendship.
No, of course. Like, and it's not to say you don't have, you don't need new friends, but like these guys that you feel like, that's what I mean more is like the people that you date that it's not a match. Like, you don't have to make room for them.
Well,
and that doesn't mean that you're a bad person.
I also feel like, especially when you're on the dating apps, I think dating apps are here to stay in the sense of, like, what you were already talking about, which is, like, there's a utility to being, like, I want to meet people outside of my immediate circle. Mm-hmm. I want to meet people who I know are looking to date.
Yes.
But, like, part of that is, like, yeah, if you decide you don't want to date me, that's the end of this interaction. Like, I'm not on Bumble BFF.
Yeah.
I'm on a dating app. So, this is for dating. Whereas in person meetups, I feel like there is a little more wiggle room to be like, oh, we have friend vibes. We can like pursue our friend vibes, whatever. But so I feel like one app or two will always reign supreme. But maybe like the heyday of so many apps and all dating being on the apps is waning for a bit.
I feel like the app that really nails down it, the both, because again, the utility of even pre-screening and like getting a sense of who this person is as much as you can versus in text of like, so what are you looking for? What do you like to do for fun? This and that, like, and then it's also like a tell if they don't ask questions, whatever. But I feel like the dating app that can really seamlessly transition from in-person events and dating things and do both, which all of them have tried, I think that one will be like the next huge thing.
Yeah.
Of like, can we do a combination of people who are like, can we get all these people that are compatible in the same dinner or something like that?
I feel like OkCupid was so good at that. At like at least just being like, you're all a similar type of like weird person who has like is like, I think it was like just like anyone who has like an alternative lifestyle. I feel like it used to be like that was the place to go, like especially if you're like kinky or like exploring your gender
Field,
or sexuality. And now Field is just like a weird threesome app and like
I don't like
thing
it.
Where
I'm
people are
it.
Cheating on their girlfriends and
that's
stuff.
The one I'm not on.
Yeah,
I hate it on there. It's like such bad vibes.
No, I would never. Yeah. But
and everyone's
like
wearing like a top hat and like a circus. It's like for circus
dating.
Freaks.
Okay, speaking of circus freaks with bad vibes, we need to talk now. We're moving on to our next segment. It's called Politic Talk, where we talk about something that's you know, going viral online, intersection of politics and social media. We need to discuss RFK Jr. and his announcement. Well,
the worm.
His announcement that he had a worm in his brain.
A dead worm.
A dead worm. It was alive, and it ate part of his brain, according to him, but then it died. So, okay. For anyone who doesn't know, basically, the New York Times reported that...
Who's RFK?
RFK Jr. is trying to get on the ballot as a third-party presidential candidate. He's like an anti-vax weirdo guy. He's got an insane voice.
Married to the girl Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, right. I always forget that.
Well, is she the main lady?
Forget that.
She's that Larry's the one, yeah, Larry's to? Wife.
Awesome.
There's like a really good episode of Maintenance Phase on RFK Jr. if you want to go like deep dive into his entire weirdness. But I think something that pretty much sums up his weirdness is that in 2012, in a deposition for his divorce, the New York Times reported that he said in a legal deposition that he was suffering from memory loss and brain fog because a worm ate a portion of his brain and died in there.
Okay.
So
we've all been there.
You know, I guess my question for you guys is, how do you think that that plays into his argument that he is like the younger, more vigorous of the three presidential candidates to say my brain has been eaten by a worm?
I'm like, it just sounds so fake and stupid that I'm like, like, it's funny, but it's like, that's a real presidential candidate. Like, so I guess we have to take him seriously. And, like, that just sounds like a kind of a nightmare scenario. Or just someone who's that stupid. I'm like, I actually don't know that I need, like, to hear more from him. Also, like, I am not impressed with any of the candidates. So I'm kind of like, well, I guess whoever's the least dumb. But I don't really know if I'm, like, buying that at all. Sorry to be a bitch.
No, that's...
Rachel, I think you've said what a lot of people are feeling is that, you know what? I'm not super impressed by the brain function of anybody on the ballot.
And I don't think I was going to vote for RFK
For someone to come forward and say, my brain has been eaten by a worm. Yeah. That's tough.
My confidence is a little rattled and it wasn't really there to begin with.
Wow,
so
weak.
Like,
all it takes is a worm eating some brains and you're going to dissuade. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, right, you have a raging racist.
He's probably like, my brain's the greatest brain. All the top doctors say that I've got the biggest brain and the best brain and whatever.
Then you got the worm brain guy who hates... I'm just like, there has to be a vaccine against worm brains, right? Brains in
he
your
won't
worm.
Take it.
He won't
no,
take
yeah, that's
it.
The thing is that he wouldn't... If there was, he wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
Because that's then, not his jam.
Yeah, and then you have Biden, so...
And you have Biden who will be like, my brain's fine.
My brain's
fine. And
then
we're fine. Just like,
and topple over at the
start. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and you know what? But like,
so it's just like, we have two people whose brains may have been eaten by a worm who... at least have the good sense not to say my brain was eaten by a worm. I don't like to give Donald Trump too much credit for good sense, but he hasn't publicly said my brain was eaten by a worm.
The bar's so low.
It is, and I think it's just like, I think people just love like the idea of something that's really stupid. But it's like one of those things where it's like a meme that has like no legs or like you can't really like do anything
like
with it.
Like a worm meme?
Yeah. It's kind of just like okay, that well, that's the whole joke. You know, like there's some stuff where it's like it's not intentionally funny, so there's a million jokes to be made about it. Yeah. But that one, it's like the thing is kind of funny, so there's not that much to talk about, but people will like just like do it until the cows come home.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is that his like team. Okay, so like other doctors have been like, that's not real, right? But his which is just very funny, but he says that a top doctor told him this about the worm in his brain, and then his team,
a top doctor that doesn't vaccinate,
one of
and, like,
his
like is
many
a podcaster
top,
for like
yeah exactly Joe Rogan told him he has a worm in his brain, but his team won't like provide any medical records to show that this worm was in his brain.
This is so crazy.
And their answer when asked about it to CNN was that they said that RFK has traveled extensively in Africa, South America, and Asia as part of his environmental efforts, and that's where he got the worm, which I feel like
is
rude.
So every fucking continent that's not white,
That's where you can get a worm. That's where you can get a worm.
What if he got the worm in Connecticut?
Right?
Well, we can't know.
But he's saying Africa, Asia, or South America. Like, yeah. Okay, great. And also, not any specific country, just in general. No,
just kind of around any of those three enormous continents.
But I'm also like, the deposition, I'm like, he probably just fucking said that to get out of some, like, settlement. Or yes. Like, oh, he forgot that he cheated on his wife because a worm ate his brain. I mean,
that is a hilarious thing to say as your defense. As a defense?
You're like, sorry, I forgot about, like, this really important war in history. I have a worm. It's just like a worm ate part of
my brain. It's also like the brain isn't an organ that like regenerates. It's not like the liver. So it's like, okay, so that's permanent, right?
Yeah,
like if a worm eats part of your brain, like now you don't.
Guys, I'm disgusted. I hate zombie shit and this is stupid.
Yeah, I just like I'm not buying like a single piece of it.
I don't think that a worm ate part of his brain. But yeah. I don't think it's good that he would say. I don't think it bodes well for his campaign that he's like saying a worm. But
I'm like, if you're at this point, like, I get it. Biden isn't doing great shit. Trump, you're like for Trump, like you're kind of gone in a different way. But then if you're like seriously considering RFK. Then you have to check yourself for worm brain. Is all I'm saying.
All right. Well,
sorry.
No, honestly, that's it. I think that we've covered everything that needs to be said about the worm in RFK's brain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to round things off with our segment called Cursed Content. Rachel, this is our segment where we talk about content that is cursed, upsetting, or reveals something deeply troubling about the state of the world around us. We're going to watch a quick video.
Awesome.
Discuss, and then I'll hand things over to Millie. So this is a video that was posted by TikTok user @KatKelly about a piece of art that she bought for her home. And
so I got this art for my apartment that says, "Hello MTV, welcome to my crib." And it's on some New York News article. So my boyfriend was like, "Well, what does the article say?" And it's just a bunch of names with their ages next to it. So we were like, "Oh no, is it an obituary?" So we pick somebody off the list that says Anne Sullivan. We Google her and she died in 2020. So then we pick somebody else on the list, Linda Newt. We look up, it's her obituary from 2020. So we looked up a bunch of people and they all died of COVID. So now I feel really weird because there's a painting in my house with people who like passed away from COVID. And is this okay?
So?
Oh my God.
So, I guess to round robin, is it okay?
So to me, I'm like, the art is so boring and stupid.
I know.
It's like so easy to take that down and throw it away or give it to like a child or something that I'm like, why would you keep that at all?
Not give to a child.
I will say that she did not keep the piece. Yeah, I think that's just the right choice. It turns out, so the piece of art, it says New York News on the top of it, but what it actually is the New York Times cover that listed 100,000 people who died from COVID. But the Etsy seller...
Not Etsy.
Yeah. So the details...
Girl, you have got to be paying attention to the stuff that you are writing your art on. Like, there's no way she didn't know what she did because...
Well, like, what is that point? Is that, like... COVID is real or people are not paying attention to COVID?
So here's the interesting thing. This Kat Kelly did a follow-up and she basically said, like, on Etsy, the image, you could not tell what the article was.
Totally.
It looked like just like blocks of text. When she messaged the Etsy seller said that they didn't know that this was a COVID article. So I'm confused as to like how this was piece
the
was
how did she make that?
Was the Etsy seller from a different country or something?
She, like, were they that was not English revealed. But some like different theories in the comments were that the artist maybe just chose this random front page because it didn't have any photos on it.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just like, whatever. that maybe it was... It
but they changed New York Times to New York News. So they did some edits to it. And then it's like, well, why didn't you just, like, do a completely fake article?
Right.
Like,
or just gobbledygook really gibberish. And, like, some people were like, okay, maybe this was created with AI, which I do feel like is one...
But then they wouldn't have real names.
Well, maybe they... I don't know what you would put into the AI, but maybe it was like, pull an article from the New York Times that has no pictures and add this onto it. And then it pulled that. Also, another theory was that, like, this article, maybe for copyright purposes, because since it's not really an article, it's just a list of names. Yeah. It's more, like, usable. But either way, this girl bought, I think, an ugly piece of art.
Yeah, the painting's ugly.
But, you know, whatever. You're allowed to buy an ugly piece of art. And then when it showed up to her house... It was the New York Times front page of everyone who had died of COVID so far.
Also, it's like, hello, MTV, welcome to my crib. Why would that be on top of a newspaper? Like, it's just like, also, it's about, no part of it makes sense.
Yeah, it's kind of a baffling piece to begin with.
I would just get like a neon sign that said that or something.
Yeah, if you want something that says, hey, MTV, welcome to my crib in your house, there's a lot of options for that. I don't really understand the need for it to be on a fake news article. But I do believe the girl when she said, you know, I didn't look that closely at the article because I just simply didn't think it would be a list of names of 100,000 people.
No, totally. That is definitely not on her. Like, I don't think she should be at fault at all. That's on the creator just, like, not thinking at all. Like, what
How
a
do you
strange...
not know? That's like, what doesn't make
that's
sense
That's why I'm
to
like,
me.
It's someone who just picked, I think it's what you said. They picked a front page that doesn't have anything. They changed New York Times to Daily so that they didn't have to get, they didn't get sued. And maybe they don't speak English, or like they just didn't get it.
Yeah, they were just like making pandemic art, and they were like,
and I
LOL.
Feel like a lot of artists, like, art is amazing. Art and music mm-hmm. are amazing. Comedy is amazing. It can provoke a lot of thought and change. But a lot of people who make art are stupid.
Yes. And are like unintentional. Like
unintentional and don't think about the deeper meaning about anything. Yeah. So
and like aren't like artist, trained to be critical thinkers.
Exactly. But a lot of them are.
And also, like, especially I do think there might be some automation going on here with how this art is being created. Like, I am produced. Maybe a fan of the AI theory to some degree, where this person was like, maybe the hello MTV, welcome to my crib is in their handwriting. And then they put in like, put this over a whatever and then screen print it and like. Because according to her follow-up video, the Etsy seller was just as shocked as she was to find out that that's what the article was. But I'm also like, okay, but you're responsible for
yeah, like, what if
you're...
it had been, like, Mein Kampf or something? Like, you yeah, have to, like you read the know stuff what that the you're fuck... sending out.
Right. It's
very
interesting.
It's just a really weird thing. Yeah. Like, or just, like, put in lorem ipsum. Like, just do, like, fake words. Right?
This is... Do you think this is better or worse than having worms for brain? Or, like, worms, a dead worm in your brain.
I guess worse.
Yeah, I feel like this is worse. I feel like this
I guess
is worse.
I'm going to say I would rather receive this weird painting than have a dead worm in my brain.
Okay, totally.
Because, again, I just don't think that your brain can come back from being eaten by a worm.
But I feel like if you did buy this, you might have
I do feel like someone involved in the creation of this might have a worm in their brain. There were like so many people in the comments being like, I actually think it's a really interesting statement on
what is
blah,
the
blah,
fucking
blah, blah, blah.
Statement.
And it's like, well, not if no one was intending to make it.
Yeah, if there was like, and if it was like live from New York, it's Saturday Night Live, and it's like all the people quote, okay, then that's like something about like the death. You know what I mean? Something about like New York, New York, it's a heck of a town or something like that. Some kind of statement about how. Whatever, Andrew Cuomo ignored, like, COVID stuff, like...
It is funny to watch people, if you look at the comments on it, it's like, some people are just bending over backwards to find meaning on this piece of art that was clearly just, like, created by accident by people who weren't paying attention.
That's totally. What's happening, too. We're just too online that nothing is an accident anymore. Yeah. Just like, I mean, it just reminds me of that, like... That big Baltimore ship crash shit where it's like everyone's like, oh, this and that and like the government. And it's like sometimes a ship just crashes into a bridge.
Yeah, there are mistakes. We just see them.
Yeah, there are freak accidents and tragedies and sometimes
Everyone sees somebody, it. Yeah.
And somebody, sometimes somebody's just fucking working so hard on their stupid Etsy workshop shit that they don't notice that they've printed 100,000
people
on their thing.
So that's our cursed content for today. And that's going to bring us to our final segment, Grasshole of the Week. Millie?
There we go. So Grasshole of the Week is our segment where we pick one person who needs to log off the most, who needs to go touch some grass the most. Sometimes it's lovingly. Sometimes it's a group of people. Sometimes it's not so lovingly. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys decide if this is lovingly or not. I will say I am scared about this one because this person is very...
They'll see it because they're so online.
They're so online. They're very vengeful and litigious.
Oh, my God. And,
I mean, we are cruising for being sued by one of our grassholes. It is going to happen one day. Millie will receive a cease and desist.
I think it's just kind advice.
Yeah. And this is in
my
opinion.
It's not illegal to tell someone to log off.
Well, okay. So this person, the person that I'm going to start with, and then there'll be a few people too. This is crazy. Talk about niche influencer drama. Mm. The grasshole of the week is Lily B. Chapman.
Never heard of her.
So before we get started, yeah, it is my opinion that Lily B. Chapman should simply log off. She's an influencer who has 831,000 followers. Mm-hmm. She's 25 years old. You've probably seen her. She has like a bob and it's like black and short and she's like very twee and she the best way to describe her content is she's very twee. She, it's a lot of like how she styles thrift finds and like how she can repurpose things she got in the thrift store and stuff like that.
I haven't seen her, but I can imagine her.
Yeah, she's like very cutesy, whatever. She's 25, which I feel like is very important for this. I said we should have content warnings of someone who's 25 and below.
Rachel, you're 26?
I'm 28.
Okay, I was like...
Really understanding how young I used to be.
Yeah,
exactly. So, again, she has 831,000 TikTok followers, about 100,000 on Instagram. And, yeah, she's gotten very popular, and she sells merch that's T-shirts that say... Get fucked. And then a mug that says certified virgin.
I'm confused by the messaging.
Is she like a sex negative or positive? Or
I think it's like ironically funny. Like,
it's only funny if you're holding the mug and wearing the shirt at the same time.
Yeah, something like that.
It's funny, ironic.
You know,
they're both things that I'm sure sell a lot because people love stuff like that.
People love stuff like that and like flowery, like flowers and a great drawing and it says get fucked. And
well, it's just interesting because I feel like some influencers, like they sell merch, but it's related to like their, like when we had Neme Ndolo on, she sells merch, but it's related to her like
brand.
Yeah. That said like pumpicity or whatever.
I haven't dug enough to know if she says get fucked.
Get fucked.
Or that she's a certified virgin. I will say that, okay, I'll tell you more and then we'll see. Okay. So in January, she uploaded several posts about how her boyfriend planned a wonderful weekend getaway for her. It was a very expensive getaway. And during that trip, her boyfriend had proposed to her and got her a huge diamond ring. Later it came out that she's pregnant. So she was pregnant before she got proposed to, so she's not a certified virgin. You know what I mean?
She's not a certified virgin.
Well, she made like a thing of like how to have premarital sex or something, like a post about it. It's a joke. So I think it's like part of her brand about the virgin thing. Mm. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So she went on this crazy luxe winter getaway ski trip that her boyfriend planned, and he got her a fat ass diamond ring. Mm-hmm. And when people asked her, like, oh my god, like how much was that, how could she afford it, or how could he afford it, she framed it like in the comments, she was basically like, my boyfriend worked very hard and saved for a while, and this is what a man should give you, like kind of like the if he wanted to he would ethos. Mm-hmm. Thing of like, you know, in a way to encourage women not to settle for a man who's not flying her out on a weekend getaway and getting her this huge diamond ring, you know? And she also said, like, in the comments, like, we'll be eating rice and beans every day for 2 months in order to afford this trip. Like, you know, that's what her man said. Like, after he's like, I love you, this cost me so much, we're just going to be eating rice and beans every day.
We're eating a British diet.
Yeah.
Every day.
Sorry, I didn't mean to yawn. No. It doesn't mean I'm bored or tired. I just get yawny.
It's okay. Please take that off. Sorry. Please cut that. Okay. Then a black TikToker by the name Getchi, username Getchi and Dirt Ritu, said, POV, the proposal video of an influencer pops up on your FYP and people are asking how he could afford it. And she implies he prioritizes income over the 10K weekend engagement trip, but omits that his father makes $7 million a year and is worth between $16 to $34 million. That comment section is sad with misled women. So many, if he wanted to, he would. And then Getchi's comment said, this feels like a flat-out lie you're feeding your audience. There is no transparency. Ladies, please, please, please stop blindly believing people. Very few will experience these situations, and that's okay. And please don't, quote, dump your boyfriend because he's not good enough, quote, because these are impossible expectations. Hashtag engagement. So, yes, she just was letting people know. Now, even though Getchi didn't name drop Lily or say anything even remotely describing her, and at a time when the video only had around like 500 likes and a few thousand views, Lily finds the post, and in an effort to get Getchi to take it down, because in her in Lily's opinion, her and her boyfriend, quote, 100% fund their own life and don't use their parents' money for anything, Lily reposted that post without blurring any of Getchi's info to her 800,000 followers, and resulted in Getchi getting harassed with death threats and racial slurs, lots of racial slurs, lots of crazy shit. And according to Lily, Getchi deserved this because it was a violation of her fiance's and his family's privacy to know that he's rich.
Jesus Christ.
And like, you know, her whole thing was like, I'm in the public eye, but his family's not in the public eye, and this is ridiculous and all this stuff. So she was getting, so that was like her argument for like whatever. And apparently, Lily has an alleged, very serious reputation for being vindictive against anyone who says something critical against her.
Can't wait to hear from her. Can't wait for us to hear from her.
In Lily's defense, she's claiming that the people she's retaliated against are sending her death threats. But there are many people who say that is not the case, like Getchi. You know, that Lily suppresses any conversation that negatively mentions her. She tends to report it, sends legal, like, cease and desist on their asses, sicks her fans on them. And she's even been accused of doxing the legal names and addresses of people who snark her. Again, there's a whole thing about like influencer snark and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was a snark page about Lily saying like she's rich and she's whatever. And there was like all these snark pages. There was a snark Discord. Lily has it's alleged that Lily gets into those things, reports them, takes them down. That's like her MO. Leaks the people who moderate them, all this shit, right? And again, snark is like just being snarky, like sarcastic, yeah, and like whatever. I kind of feel like if you're having a whole snark page about one influencer and they have like 800,000 followers, I'm like, you kind of need to go touch grass too.
Yeah, I do feel like that's not a big enough influencer I think that they
Kim
that,
Kardashian snark, okay, fine, because there's a TV show, all this stuff, but somebody with 800,000 followers, like whatever. But again, Lily has been accused of taking down any subreddit threads and the Discord server about her. So after the backlash of this black creator getting this, again, this all happened in January, whatever, the backlash of this black creator getting hate, Lily, like, people were like, this is fucked up that you sent your 800,000 followers and now this girl's getting like racial harassment. Like, what the fuck? So Lily posted a story that last 24 hours that was like, hey guys, please stop being racist. And people are like, okay, that was a day late and a penny short. Well, guys, why is Lily the grasshole?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That was just the background.
That's just the background.
Oh, my God.
That was just the backstory.
This is just the backstory. This week, or I guess last week, Lily dropped a merch campaign called Cancel Me, where a portion of the proceeds go to anti-cyberbullying. And she's saying that she's been a victim of cyberbullying, and she wants to bring attention to it by her merch drop. When people push back on her saying, why does she have a cyberbullying campaign when she engages in the worst forms of cyberbullying herself? She posted a video showing screenshots of the meanest threats she's ever received. So Getchy resurfaced and shared the details of her experience at the hands of Lily and her followers. And then Lily's fiance reached out to Getchy asking if they can get on the phone to talk about some details that were missed. Huh. Getchy was then contacted by other victims of Lily and what they went through. And the reason, so the anti-bullying merch drop already Go Touch Grass. This is really the Go Touch Grass part. Lily went and deleted 1,874 of her videos.
Whoa!
She deleted all those videos from her TikTok.
That takes a lot of time.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
So many videos.
That's so...
Almost 2,000 videos, guys.
That takes a lot of time.
Also,
and
like,
I wonder...
the app would like freak out at you and be like, are you sure you're trying to do this?
But yeah. I guess she posts so much every fucking day that 1,800
it didn't even
videos,
make a dent.
Like, it didn't. I mean, I guess it did, but I don't know. Like,
I will go through and like recurate my account. I'll archive stuff on Insta, delete a couple videos here and there, but like
1,800
is
alleged.
A lot.
Yeah, it's
of
a lot.
Videos.
Then, so she drops this thing. People push back. She gets like this black creator comes out and is like, you're like, this is fucked up. You're a hypocrite. And she details everything that happened. Then then Lily deletes 18. She sends this crazy apology to Getchy. Mm-hmm. Where she's like, okay, well, do you want to get on the phone again? She's like, I'm not going to get on the phone with you unless I can record it. And she's like, okay, well, you can record it and use whatever. And she's like, well, I don't want you to have my phone number. And she's like, look, I feel like if you really want an apology, you'll get it. But like, I feel like you kind of get a lot of clout for me engaging with you. So maybe that's all you want. So it's like a weird apology. She's weird, whatever. Then all this shit comes out. Then she deletes 1,874 videos. Then, guys, yesterday in a Mother's Day post, she promotes a GoFundMe for a family in Gaza, part of Project Olive Branch mm-hmm. that Elise is engaging
yes,
in.
Yes, actually, if you go to my profiles, I am. I
it
have
partners
a, yes.
you with a family
in,
that
Gaza.
In Gaza. So she picked a pregnant woman who's mm-hmm. 7 months pregnant, just like her. And just, but again, people noted that this is her first ever post about Gaza.
Oh my God.
And it's after the.
So much backlash.
Yeah, after so she's much like, backlash, she's like, whatever. So people are like, this is, again, like a rebrand. So, again, just so you guys know, Lily B. Chapman, self proclaimed MILF in her third trimester with the child of her wealthy fiance. She seemingly fully pivoted into being a trust fund zipster with endless travel. Twee lifestyle pics and TikToks about the baby gear she's accumulating, but mostly appears to be spending all her time tracking down everyone on the internet who's ever snarked her. Guys, go touch grass. Like, everyone go touch grass. I can't find the merch. I think she took down the Cancel Me merch.
That is a funny, angle for bullying that, like, that people who are bullying you are trying to cancel you.
Yeah.
Is very
it's
funny.
Like, people on the internet, like, what's happening is, like, every single person on the internet who's like, fuck you, you're evil, you're a loser, they don't care. They don't think about it for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They legit are just like, oh my God, you're so nasty. Like,
yeah.
The amount of, I mean, I've never like commented a mean thing on a video, but like I watch like a video every 3 seconds when I'm on my phone where I'm like, this is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And so it's just like someone who doesn't have my like point of view and does comment that. It's like they don't think about it ever again. But when you're receiving all those, like you feel like the world is ending and that everyone is attacking you and that like going mm-hmm. outside will be unsafe for you. But it's like, no, the barista who gives you free coffees because she loves your content isn't going to stop giving you that. Like, everyone's going to suck your dick, like, still when you leave the house. Like,
I mean, that's why it's go touch grass, because when you actually get off the internet.
Yeah, it's really the Tyler, the Creator tweet. Like, go out, like, go step away from the computer. Yeah. Like, how are you getting cyberbullied? It's in a computer. I mean, obviously, cyberbullying is really awful. And, like, receiving that is so horrible and, like, really damaging to the psyche, especially of young people. But it is just, like, you are a millionaire. Someone said that you were rich and you couldn't handle it. It's like the whole point of being rich is that you, like, okay, people can say whatever they want. You get to be rich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like no one's going to feel bad for you. You have everything they want and everything they are working hard for and, like, getting destroyed at their job for.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, a couple of people are mean to you. You don't ever have to take public transportation again. You know, like, it's just, like, that's the payoff. Like, everyone knows who you are. They made you really rich. And so you just have to deal with, like, it's all so bad.
And you also pursued everybody knowing who you are. And, like, with the original thing with her fiancé being rich, if she had just been, like, my fiancé's rich, it would have been a different deal.
She didn't have to do the rice and beans thing, like, oh, it's going to be really hard for us.
We're going to be bootstrapping, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just, and telling people, like, this is what your man would do for you if he, like,
wasn't
loved
a bum.
You enough. Yeah, exactly. It's like, just be honest, be like, we're really fortunate. We could afford this. It was really fun.
And, you know, maybe it is in their mind, like, maybe they do fund everything and maybe they will, like, cut back on eating out, like eating at different restaurants and stuff to afford this thing. But the thing is, which we kind of talked about in the Rich Parents episode, but I really wanted to make a point of that, like, which the whole, like, ethos in the center of this particular beef is that when your parents make $7 million a year, even if they're not paying your rent every month,
you're safe.
You're moving through life differently. Yeah. You're not having to do every stupid fucking job. You're not, like, you can spend, you know, 3 months worth of salary on a fucking wedding ring or on this nice vacation because you know that at the end of the day, you're safe. Your housing is going to be fine. If you have to reach out to your dad or your mom and get $2,000 or $5,000, it's not going to fucking put the whole family in financial ruin the way that most other people in this country cannot. They can't go to their parents and be like, yo, can I get $10,000 or this and that? I can't even ask my parents, I'm sorry, for $100. Like, that is a reality. So you're just moving through life differently. You started off, you didn't have student debt. You have great credit. Like, you just have a leg up. That's what people are talking.
They probably use the connections that they have in business to get you your first job. Like,
and
it's just like,
you can say no to the shittier jobs too, because that's also a thing. Is like, sometimes these people do work hard, but it's like, you work hard and you work strategically. You don't have to say yes to every dumb job just to make, like, some money. So, but it's, like, different.
Yeah, it's just, like, understanding that immense privilege and being like, you know what, you can get mad at me because you don't have this, and, like, it's, you can't even imagine what most of the, like, when you're in that position, like, and you've never had to struggle or anything, it's so hard to imagine what it's like for someone who's so tired because they're, like, working an insane job and, like, have a kid that they can't afford to, like, send to a good school. You know what, it's just, like, there's a million things where it's, like, just own that you are really lucky and, like, that your life is pretty easy and, like, maybe a bunch of people are mad at you. You don't have to post it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to post your whole life. You decided to do this. It's how you make your money.
I think it's the same thing, sorry, as, like, the Nepo baby thing of, like, oh, and it's not to say you've never worked hard or you've never had to scrimp or save, but it's
Or you're not talented.
You're not talented. It's just different. Yeah. It is just,
And all you can do is be really grateful.
And all you can be, like, is just acknowledge that. Like, I have the connection to get me this audition and I actually can just work. I can, you know, fuck, like, if you have an audition, like, me and Elise right now, we both have 5 jobs.
Yeah.
Like, if you have an audition, that fucks up the whole week because, okay, well, how am I going to pause this job and do this and do that and do this?
And get ready and get ready and this and that. And I need a reader.
Versus someone who's like, rent is paid, who can, you know, can spend 24-48 hours preparing for this fucking thing and memorize a line
and hire and someone look, to
and
help
hire
you.
Someone to help you. It's just different, dog.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't want to, so that whatever, but then also I also gotta say, People are going to hate on you no matter what. We got our first one star review.
We think it's from someone who was a grasshole.
But we're not going to go out and fucking dox them and try to figure out.
No, they did put a fake full name.
They put a fake name. We know you. We it was probably. We have theories on who it is. We'll talk about it on the Patreon. Elise thinks it's the paper guy. I think it could be the Karen from the airplane.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, so.
It's the thing is, and also, you guys can look, it's on Apple Podcasts. You'll find it. It's lengthy and it feels personal. Oh, and I'm just like, this person is definitely a former grasshole. Because it's not like just like, I don't like this podcast. I don't think they're good hosts. It's like, I'm like,
No one has ever left a bad review that like didn't listen to every single episode. Yeah, you know like, what I mean?
Hurt this person and I think they were grasshole. And maybe we're going to hear from Lily.
Well, maybe. But it's also just like, most people, like you're saying, most people, they don't like, well, this is like also why the snark people, it's like, if you don't like Lily, don't engage in her shit, block her shit, whatever. She's doing unethical shit. That's her business. But it's like, and Lily, like, people aren't going to like you and that's okay. You don't have to fucking make
it your
whole
thing. It's like so unforgivable to have like all this power and then sick your fans on someone who is.
And so many
like,
influencers do that
all the time. I remember like there was like a thing with like Lizzo a couple years ago where like her food delivery person like was like running late and she was like, fuck this guy, and like posted his information on Twitter and everyone just like went insane on him. And it's just like when you're in a position of power, like you have to deal with your rage and like your anger or like the feeling that you are like hurt and like swallow it, because you have to understand that you have so much more than this person that you are destroying their like you have like I don't know, it's like when you have a bunch of money you can like hide for a little bit while people are mad at you. A person who like is just trying to call out that you're not like being honest, like it's just so evil to sick a bunch of people on them.
And that's another like etiquette thing that I thought I was thinking about, because I was like, if someone's like, fuck you, I think you should die and your baby needs to get a like disgusting things, if you post their name, that's pretty thing. If someone's like, I really think that it's shady that this person like is not telling people that her boyfriend's rich, that's, you don't need to be sharing the thing, you know, that's just like criticism. If someone's like, you're ugly and you're stupid and you're disgusting, like that sucks, I would probably share. I think it's ethical of like, if you want to say he to me, then you whatever. If you're saying like, oh, I think Millie's voice is annoying, or I think whatever, it's part, you got to charge it to the game. So I feel like it's just that like, thing.
Yeah.
But some people feel like every criticism is the same as someone being like, I'm going to come to your house and kill you. It's like,
Well, and it's also the original post that the, what, Givenchy, not Givenchy, but
Getchy.
The original Getchy post didn't actually reference her. So it's
and didn't reference her. That was the whole thing too, was like, it's not only did I not send you a death threat or anything.
She's like, when an influencer. Like,
she didn't even say that it was a woman or anything. She's like, whatever. So that's
like
the fucking
TikTok etiquette. If you like make a stitch and you like, if you stitch someone's video and you come at them directly and use their name, then they can't respond to you.
Yeah.
But to find something that's just like shady and might be about you that you guess is about you but doesn't actually
and
tag you.
And has like
you,
kind of no views compared to your following.
Exactly. And sick your followers on them. I feel like that is not the same
and
thing.
That's why
grasshole, that's why she's our grasshole of
that's
the week.
That's why she's our grasshole of the week.
Wow what a host of topics we had today.
We did boys rooms
dead
worms, dead crabs, dead
people
from COVID.
Oh my god, totally.
Wow, we really talked about it all. Rachel, it was so wonderful to have you.
Guys, thanks for having me. Sorry, I was like low energy and like low vibes.
I don't think that, I wouldn't have described you as low energy or low vibes. I think your vibes are immaculate, and I think our listeners are going to want to follow you and find you. So tell them where they can do that.
Thanks, guys. I'm Rachel Koster. Rachel Koster on Instagram. Rachel Koster on, and then I'm Rach for the Stars on TikTok and Twitter.
Beautiful.
Actually, I don't know what I am on TikTok. I don't really go on there that much. But
you'll
find
her.
Yeah.
Look up Boy Room and then she'll be tat. You'll find her.
Yeah, Boy Room, like from gymnasium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody should watch Boy Room. Guys, we're at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. I am at Pandalise on Instagram, though I am still trying to change my username.
I'm sorry.
I want to change it badly. It's not something that can be easily done.
You
want
to change to Elise Morales or Elise Navidad?
Well, ideally Elise Navidad, but someone does have Elise Navidad, so then I there's a many step process that would have to happen where I would have to figure out how to change my username. Then, like I said last week, approach Elise Navidad with respect.
Yeah.
And try to make a deal with.
That was Grasshole last week.
Grasshole last week freaked out because someone wouldn't give him her username. So it's a multi-step process, but if you or someone you know works at Meta and can help me begin that process, I would love to.
I know an Italian hacker who is really good at making things happen with Meta.
Okay, well, guys, if you see me with the Elise Navidad username, you'll know that I got in touch with that.
He's amazing.
And you can find me at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
You can find me at Millie_Tamaras. On TikTok and Instagram, and you can find me on Twitter at Millie Tamaras, aka Wactose Intolerant. I cannot tolerate whackness.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good at.
Yeah, at Wactose You're so Intolerant. Funny. Thank you, Rachel. That means a lot coming from you. So check out our Patreon. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk about the Tarte influencer trip. We did a great episode about Trad Wives that's out now. Mm-hmm. I was sick to my stomach after learning about. How many people make Cocoa Cup Puffs from scratch?
Yeah, oh, and speaking of people who have got secretly rich husbands, that's all over the Trad Wife. Oh, yeah, that's all the Trad Wife.
Well, it has to be. You can't be doing that if you don't have the support of financially.
Exactly. Well, exactly. But they're hiding it. Similar.
And guess what? They're all like 25.
Yeah, and everybody's pretending that
they're all like 25. I should have just like gone to Ohio.
My life would be amazing. You can go anytime.
Okay, good.
Guys, you'll see Rachel in Ohio.
Yeah.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum podcast.